Thank you for joining us for this message. Whether you are watching for the first time or are simply catching up on a message you missed, we are so glad you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you will experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. May you be inspired by the word today.
We're going to now read scripture together. I've asked Pastor Michael to stay up here with me, and usually we read back and forth. And so what we're going to do is I will read a verse, and Michael will read a verse, and you're welcome to follow along. I think we have it on the overhead. But we are in Joshua, and as we look at it, we're starting at verse 5 of Joshua 3, and then we'll go from there. Hear the word of the Lord. Then Joshua told the people, "Purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you." Verse 6.
In the morning, Joshua said to the priests, "Lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river." And so they started out and went ahead of the people.
The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all Israelites. They will know that I am with you just as I was with Moses." Chapter 4, verse 1.
When all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua,
"Now choose 12 men from each tribe.
Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight.
We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, 'What do these stones mean?'
Then you can tell them, 'They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever.'"
And as they're getting ready to go across, then in chapter 5, verse 13, Joshua has this encounter. When Joshua was near the town of Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and demanded, "Are you a friend or foe?"
"Neither one," he replied. "I am the commander of the Lord's army." At this, Joshua fell with his face to the ground in reverence. "I am at your command," Joshua said. "What do you want your servant to do?"
The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did as he was told. Let's pray. And I'm asking today, Lord, that the words of my mouth, meditations of our hearts, will be pleasing in your sight. And as the prophet Samuel prayed so long ago, we pray now, "Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening." And all God's people said, thank you, Pastor Michael, for helping me out and reading God's word this morning. Now, I have a few things I want to say to us before we jump into our sermon. The first that I would say to you is that it's been quite a week. And I understand that there is not one of us that has not been untouched by this. I acknowledge that. And as we continue down this path, I would say to you, we all understand that it is uncharted territories. But we have one who goes before us who can navigate through all of this. Things are changing day by day and sometime by the hour. We need to keep our emails open. We need to keep our apps together, our KCC apps, so we can communicate as things change. We need one another more than we've needed each other ever before. And even though we can't actually engage and hug, we can engage in other ways. And I encourage you to do that by simply making a phone call and sharing with one another. It is the church's finest hour. And couple things that I want you to know about as we deal with this. The first, as I would say to you, is that there's been a lot of loss. A lot of loss. And I want you to understand, in that loss, it's okay to grieve on small levels and in large levels. I think those of you that right now, because of this situation, you have loved ones, maybe it's moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, that are in nursing homes or in hospitals, and they are in critical care. And you can't see them. That's beyond a grief that I could ever imagine. We have literally thousands who are grieving graduation. We have seniors in high school and seniors in university who will never experience what that's going to be unless this thing ends quickly. And I'm saying to you all, I could go through and through as it relates to the list, but understand this, is that it's okay to grieve. It's okay to lament. It's okay to be able to have a moment. Now, having said that, what I want you to understand is this. As you do this, you don't have to grieve and you don't have to lament by yourself. Do not isolate yourself. Secondly, as you go through these steps of loss, don't get stuck. Lean into Jesus. He will be all that he needs to be in each of our lives. That was the word I really wanted us all to understand. It is okay to grieve loss today, whether big or small. And the Bible tells us when we grieve together. When we rejoice together. Having said that, I want you to know that we are committed to be in the hands and feet of Jesus. I want to echo what Michael said. We have been already organizing next Sunday for a blood drive. If you're able to get out, you need to go get the information from us, sign up, and you need to give some blood. We are in critical need of it. It's our finest hour, church. As a matter of fact, I've already been in communication with our government officials. We are not ready to announce this yet, but it is my hope that after Sunday, we will have several days that we will keep our gymnasium open to actually allow blood drive to continue. We are committed to be committed to our community as a church. We're also staying committed to Kids Basket and our daily bread and Streams of Hope to get food where it's needed. We will continue to encourage you to stay in contact with us. It is my desire that as this thing continues, the need will become greater and we will expand our teams to be able to get food to people appropriately. So keep your eyes open to that communication. It's important that you need to know that right now you can donate to our church, and here are the things that we need. We need diapers, baby wipes, baby formula of all kinds, and hygiene items, especially deodorant and dental floss. These are things that nobody thinks about. You can come into our church. We'll have things ready, shelving ready for you to donate those, but we are committed to come alongside our community. How about caring for you spiritually? We are going to next Friday. We had our typical night of prayer. I'm going to let you know that we are going to get information to you, but we are probably going to do the concert of prayer, our family prayer, but it's going to look different. It's going to be virtual. And as we go engage this, with more information to come. But I want you to realize that that's coming down the road, and we are going to pray together like never before, and we're going to ask you to join us live. We are committed to you as adults. There are many opportunities for online connections, including daily devotionals, daily prayer focus, free access to Right Media Now, materials for small groups, or maybe you'd like to start a small group. We need that. Go to my KCC app and website. Feels like I'm throwing a lot of stuff at you, but we have to begin to educate ourselves. We can't stop being the church. And so we are immediately trying to figure out how to get you the word that you need right now and here. So don't just check out when I'm telling you this. I would say to you that I'm even committing what I'm calling mixed moments, moments with Mick or whatever. I'm trying to daily get on Facebook to give you a word of encouragement. And so keep that in mind. We'll put that on our Facebook page at Kentwood site. I also want to let our students know that small groups meeting through Zoom, group leaders are reaching out. And if you're interested, connect with our church. We have our own YouTube channel. Every day, Monday through Friday, there will be something on there. So check it out, students. And real kids, we're going to catch the whole group. For those already involved, you should have received an email this week directing you to Kentwood Community Church Real Kids Facebook group. There you can find out how to download material and watch kids' lessons online. There's also parental guiding, how to teach you and bring you along. Last thing I would say to you is if you're hurting and you need counseling, call the church. I said it last week and I'm going to say it every week. If you're struggling with anxiety, stress, you're feeling overwhelmed, loneliness, depression, if you're feeling panic attacks, call the church so that we can get you connected and come alongside you. He's got this, church. It is our finest hour. We have to trust him for this moment. It's not easy, but we have to trust him. And we are going to now, having said that, we are going to keep on getting into the word. And so we're moving on with this series called Claim Your Destiny. We've been looking at it week by week. I don't know of a better time to claim our destiny than right here and right now. Now I got to give a time out and say, it's really, really different. I'm looking at a camera the entire time that I speak. For those of you who know me, I usually wander all over the place and I usually engage people. And so I'm trying to engage you in your home. And as I do this, may the Spirit of God come through me all the way through the internet into your home. Can I get an amen, church? Now, for those of you adults that didn't say amen and you have kids, kids, give your parents a shot in the gut and say amen. Not too hard, although. Let me review where we've been. God spoke to Joshua. He was preparing him to lead the way. Joshua obeyed. He knew who he belonged to, and he was therefore fearless, and he was courageous. God did a timeout. In chapter 2, he brought in Rahab. And he's basically saying this, as you claim your destiny, why did he bring Rahab in? He was giving us a message that the destiny's for all of us. It doesn't matter whether you're a prostitute or whether you're screwed up or whether you're messed up. We all are on equal planes with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's critical that as we claim our destiny, we have to move forward. And as you decide whether you're going to claim your destiny or not, I ask you the question, what is it that's holding you back? Is it the fear of the moment? Do not allow fear to grab you. Do not open up a door and allow it to control you. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. It is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, declares the Lord. When I am weak, he is strong. Do not let fear stop you in claiming your destiny. Do not allow unbelief or sin or even brokenness itself. Here's what I know to be true. This goes back to our biblical worldview. As we each claim God's specific destiny for us, he also has a general destiny for all of us, and that is to be more like Jesus. And that destiny is clear in Scripture. Philippians says that the work that he's begun in you and I, he's going to bring it to completion. In other words, the final chapter of your story, of your narrative, has not been finished yet. So wherever you are in that, he will, and he has promised, he will continue to finish that. Can I get an amen? And he also says that he will do this according to his riches. So as we claim our destiny, God is glorified through all of this. So this morning, I want to learn from Joshua yet again. I have a couple of thoughts as we learn from him as he moves towards the promised land with a group of people. The first thing that I would say to you, and you're welcome to get our notes, my notes, on my KCC app. But the first point that I would say to you is this. It's time to act. It's time to act. Would you repeat after me? Say, let's do this in Jesus' name. Say it again. Let's do this in Jesus' name. Now, what we know is that they've already done this once before. But all these folks, they were just young people. And they watched their moms and dads going through the Red Sea. They watched Moses lead them. They watched the sea split. Now in chapter 3, as they're moving towards the promised land, they've got to cross this place called the Jordan River. They got to do it all over again. Now it's their time. Now it's their turn. And they got to act now. They can't look at what their parents had done. The promised land was before them. And what they did is they stepped out into the Jordan River. What they understood was this. The God who holds them is greater than them trying to hold God. The God who holds them as they step out has them firm in his grip, even though their grip on him may be very, very light. We know this for ourselves. The New Testament tells us his grip on you and me is so firm that he has delivered you and I, according to Colossians, from the power of darkness. Do you believe that today? You must believe it. You need to believe it. You have been delivered today. I'm reminded of Jesus' own words in John 10, where he says he's got a grip on us and nothing, absolutely nothing, will ever be able to take us out of his hands. So I don't care what this week brings. I mean that. As followers of Jesus, nothing will ever shake that reality. He will be with us to the very end. We have a firm foundation. We have the ability to stand in our weakness. That's what we realize today. That's the destiny he's called us to do. And so here's Joshua. It's time to act. He's walking them through the Jordan. Remember what he has? This thing called the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant goes first, which represents God and his presence. Never move before God. Never step behind God. But walk in pace with God. That's what we see. In chapter 3, verse 10, by crossing the Jordan, and the reason of the crossing of the Jordan, the people are going to know that God is with them. What's he trying to say? What's the Jordan all about? The Jordan is simply this. Before there's a Jericho, there's always a Jordan River. What I mean by that is he doesn't call you and I to this incredibly difficult task and just out of the blue we go after it. He usually allows other things to lead us up to that ability to get there. So this whole point of splitting the Jordan River on dry ground was a moment in the history of this nation, which failed in the Red Sea, was now going to have the capacity to redeem themselves and see that as they walk upon dry ground and they realize that it is God who has gone before them, when they head into Jericho, which we will talk about next week, that the God has already done what he's already promised he's going to do. And that's the same for you and me in our lives. As we look in our own lives and as we step out and do what God has called us to do, we need to understand we look back to the cross just like they look back to the dry Jordan. And what you need to understand is the river that we could have never crossed, Jesus crossed it. And you and I need to understand the tide that we could not face, he faced it. Thus we sit here today. He gave us all that we needed. And he's given us all that we need today to claim our destiny. He did not take you and I this far. Catch this, church. He did not take us this far this Sunday in this situation in our world in 2020 to leave us. He didn't take us this far and say, now you all fend for yourself. He is speaking proudly and loudly to us saying, hear me, my children. Follow me. Yes, I realize it's rumbling. Yes, I realize the river's all around, but you realize my protection is there. Keep your eyes on me. I will do this. How do we know that to be true? We have the example of the Jordan with Joshua, but we also have the example of God himself. I remind you of Romans chapter 8, where God says clearly, and God who did not spare his own son, but gave him for all of us, how much more will he not care for you? He's already proven it. This is his greatest hour to continue to do it. As we move forward, what we're declaring, our past is our past. It's over with. No more wandering in the desert. No more going into the wilderness. The promised land is before us, and we must claim it. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying there will not be casualties. I'm not saying there won't be suffering and pain. But through all of that, catch what I'm trying to say. That we are fuller who we are in Christ, not in spite of our suffering, but because of them. Not in spite of them, but because of them. The God who loves us will mold us and shape us in the midst of this. But the time is now to act. And when Joshua acted, he was not acting with the typical way. He wasn't acting with military might. As he was acting, he was walking forward in a spiritual battle, realizing that his battle was demonic at its core. Joshua realized that as they were moving towards the promised land, that this had been promised to his great-great-granddaddy, and that it actually had said, you will be given this land so that you can be a blessing to the world, Genesis chapter 12. But there is one who's going to do a counter-offensive. His name is Satan, and he will try to pollute the world. He will try to destroy the children of Israel, so that they cannot carry out the mandate that God has called us to do. The time is to act now, church. And I remind you what you already know to be true, that our battle, according to Ephesians 6, is not against flesh and blood. It is not. It's against principalities and rulers of the world. It's time that we wake up to this. And the enemy's one desire, according to 1 Peter 5:8, is to devour us. We need to stand up and realize that God can give us the victory. The enemy has always been inciting against us. I can take you to Chronicles where he incited David to destroy David. I can tell you that in Luke, he said to Satan came to Jesus and wanted to sift Peter. I can tell you that the devil persuaded Judas to betray Jesus. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that he even blinds the minds of unbelievers so they will not understand. So we are in a battle, no doubt. And as we act, the key point is this. Once we act, there will be opposition, but God's power will be displayed. Church, are you ready for it? You ready to stand up and act just like the children of Israel stood up? They are new Jericho, our new walls, as we were starting this series, we did not know would be called a virus. But nonetheless, I am here to tell you the result will be the same. It's good. The result will be the same, but it's time to act. The second thing I would say to you from the scripture, that what we learn from Joshua, is this: remember and know whose you are. Remember and know whose you are. Would you repeat after me? Say, we remember. One more time. We remember. Can you imagine in this moment? Because this would have been, I would have been totally hard. This would have been totally hard for me. You waited. You're Joshua and you're Caleb. You're the senior citizens, because your generation's all dead, right? Now you got your kids, adults, and you got grandkids, and you're crossing over, and you just watch God do this incredible moment. It's dry ground. I'm all pumped if I'm Joshua. I'm like, let's go take Jericho. Did you see what God did? Let's do this. And then God had the audacity to say, time out. Before you move forward, that was a pretty cool thing. Can you take 12 stones? And I want you to take these 12 stones, and I want you to set them up in such a way that not just you, but your children who follow can be remembering this moment. Why is he wanting them to remember? Because he knows us and knows that we need to remember when we're in the middle of the battle. And that'll help us like nobody's business. We're in the middle of the battle. Often we forget. We forget whose battle it is. We're in the middle of a fight on a virus. Whose battle is it? It's the Lord's. He'll use us. He'll use medicine. He'll use our government. He'll use the church. But the battle is the Lord's. Who has the power to do this? It is God himself. And yet we forget what God has done in the midst all of the time. David forgot, did not remember who God was, and he fell with Bathsheba. Solomon forgot and got all caught up into his wisdom and all everything else, and his fame and his power, and he fell. Peter forgot right in the middle of the most critical moment, and he walked on water. We have to remember. If we don't remember, we will forget. And when we forget who God is, we begin to worry. Anybody worrying today? We forget his mercy and we begin to resent. We forget his beauty and we begin to covet. We forget his holiness and we begin to sin. And yes, we forget God's in control and we begin to fear. Remembering is critical. To remember, what are you facing? Say it again with me out there in those homes. Say, remember. Stand up wherever you are in your household. Put your hands like this and say, remember. Remember. I'm proud of you. I think some of you actually did it. Thank God. You see, when we remember, we build faith upon faith. Before there's a Jericho, there's a Jordan. People ask me all the time, well, how did you get to serve the Lord in the Islamic world, caring for refugees in a very difficult stage? How did that happen? I just didn't wake up one day and say, oh, Melanie, let's just go overseas and live in a really difficult neighborhood. No, it was faith, building upon faith, and steps of obedience. Remembering helps us to stop, remember what God has said, remember what God is saying, and then go from there. Not only did Joshua remember, but he was also declaring to them they need to know who they belong to. So in chapter 5, what did he do? He tells them they need to be circumcised. You see, when they were wandering for 40 years, they stopped this whole tradition. And now as they were going forward, it wasn't actually the circumcision that mattered. It's what it did for them and what it was saying. The circumcision, as they were headed to the promised land, was saying this: separate yourself from your past. You're a new creation. The old is gone. Today is today. Separate yourself. Declare who your identity is. Is it in you or is it in him? We believe we are no longer slaves. Stop acting like you're children of Egypt. Start believing that you are children of God and make yourself distinct and different. And so circumcision was saying that to them. And we are circumcised in the heart, are we not? According to New Testament theology. And what that says to you and I today, as we remember who we are, is he says, if you know who you are, then Ephesians says, put off your old self and stop acting like that, because that is not who you are. Stop with it. Realize John 1 says, you are a child of God. And if you are a child, guess who protects you? The one who protects you is Daddy, Abba. My daughter's in the front row here of the few people that are here. We were just talking the other day when she was a little girl in this old farmhouse when we come back from overseas. And the storms would really, that summer there was a lot of storms, a lot of thunderstorms. She was really, really young, 3, 4 years old, something like that. And we had the kids downstairs because there was only 1 or 2 bedrooms upstairs. And I remember during the thunderstorms, right in the middle of a thunderstorm, I heard her little feet coming up. It was an old farmhouse. So you heard her coming upstairs. And I was on the side of the bed where you could dive into the bed. Next thing I know, this 3 or 4 year old girl's going like Superman, flying into the bed. And as I grabbed her, I could feel her little body trembling with fear as the lightning and the thunder struck. But what she realized in that moment is, I'm her daddy. And in a 3 and a 4 year old mind, all she needed is to be held by her daddy. So as I held her, and it was still thunder and it was still lightning, all of a sudden in a matter of moments, she was sound asleep. Why? Because she was in the arms of her daddy. We all get that. But when we realize our identity, what we need to understand that we've been circumcised at the heart is that our dad as a child, he's got us. You're not alone. And it may be thundering, and there may be lightning all around, and people may be screaming gloom and doom all around you. We have a different message. Absolutely different message. Knowing that our God is able. Can I get an amen? He is our friend, according to John 15. We can call him friend. We also declared as saints. We are redeemed from sin. We don't have to live to it. Ephesians says we are his workmanship. I'm not finished. Anybody else with me? And most importantly, and with all the hope of Philippians 3, we are citizens of heaven. Citizens of heaven. Let me tell you clearly, listen to me. I don't care how good it is on this planet. You could have it perfect. Name the situation that would make you think this is a perfect life, whatever that is. And if you are able to create that perfect situation, I'm here to tell you, you still would not be fulfilled. And the reason is, you were not created for this place. You were created for something way better than this. You are like that children's toy where you take all the figures and you try to push them in the right, this little circle ball, right? And you try to put the square in the square and the triangle in the triangle. It's kind of like we're squares, but we're living in a triangle situation. And not until we get to heaven, when the square goes into the square, that we really feel the fulfillment that we're called to be. You're aliens and strangers passing through. This is not your home. Is that good news? But why we're here, we're to be the hands and feet of Jesus, doing what he's called us to do. So let's replace lies with truth. Remember who you serve. Know who you belong to. I cannot be separated from the love of God. And once you and I claim who we are, we will know his destiny for ourselves. The key point is this. The battle is fierce. But knowing your identity in Christ will give you victory en route to claiming your destiny. Mark my word. Let me give you the last point today. And that is this. Call on your commander. Call on your commander. Would you repeat after me? Say, help us, Lord. Say it again. Help us, Lord. So here's Joshua. He's remembered. He's actually knows who he belongs to. But now he gets an interaction with God himself. It's an incredible interaction. We read it, Michael and I read it in chapter 5, 13 to 15. I'm here to tell you that when you read this passage, I may blow your mind, but in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and then the Word dwelt among us. What you need to realize is that I believe this particular passage in Joshua chapter 5, 13 to 15, that was Jesus engaging Joshua. Why do I say that? Number one, it wasn't an angel because angels don't receive worship. He said, take off your feet because you're on holy ground. What we know about Jesus is he was from the beginning. He's always existed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He did not just live 33 years in Palestine. And before there was a meal with Zacchaeus, there was a moment with Joshua. God was interacting with Joshua in the exact moment that he needed it. And Joshua was like, what do you want? Who are you for? That's a typical answer, a question we would ask, right? And how does he respond? He's like, I'm for neither. I've come to take over. And in this moment, as we come to the commander, what you need to realize is Jesus is saying to you and I today, I'm for all of you. I've come and I'm here to take over. Am I getting your attention? Do I need to do more? You think you're so mighty. You think you can put your trust in the stock market, in your job, in your talent, in your country, in your ability, and a snap of my finger, and you all will be on your knees. I've come to take over. And we realize the commander, this old Jesus, in the Old Testament, Jesus gave him exactly what he needed. In that moment, what did Joshua realize? He realized up to that point, he said, okay, we have the power, the army of the Canaanites in Jericho. We have the army of the Israelites. But when the commander of all commanders showed up, it was according to Psalm 103, there's a third army. It's the army of the Lord. And he's like, you're going to fight this thing. We'll look at it next week. You're going to fight this thing way different. It's not going to be conventional. And what I would say to you today is that we are in the exact situation as Joshua was then. As we head towards the promised land, towards what God has called us to be, we look at the powers before us and the obstacles before us. We know what our abilities are. And the Holy Spirit himself is saying to you and I've come to take over. Let me be what I need to be in your life, in the life of the church, in the life of your country, in the life of this world. I've come to take over. Lord Jesus, I pray that your Holy Spirit would fall down right now in our homes and in our nation. May your power take over, O Commander in Chief. It's in that name I pray. Joshua needed this encounter because the challenges were overwhelming. He saw the promised land, but Jericho was standing in the way. When God comes to command us, you need to realize in Scripture there is no rules how God's going to do it. There's no rhyme or reason. He's going to do it the way he wants to do it because that's the way God declared it. He did it with Moses, with a bush. He did it to Balaam with a donkey. And he did it with blazing angels at the tomb of Jesus. What's he saying to you and me today? He's saying to us, Ephesians chapter 1, he's saying he's in charge of it all. And he has the final word. Is that good news for you? He has the final word. We must submit to him. And we see in Hebrews 1, simply this, he sustains everything. He sustains everything by the power of his command. Everything is sustained by his command. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Church, this is a great moment for us to practice what we have preached most of our lives. We either will come to the point where we either believe this or we don't. He's saying, I've come to take over. Will you allow me to do that? So whatever you're facing today, whatever your Jericho is today, you need to understand that he is stronger. And he's saying, come to me and allow him to be your strength. The key point is simple. Call on Jesus daily in the small things, and then he will help us in the big things. Let me give you some next steps as I pray for you in a moment. And then we're going to take communion together. My first thing that I would say to you is, let's begin to claim our destiny right in the middle of the challenge. Claim it in Jesus' name. Acknowledge who he is and remember what he has done. It would be really good this week, maybe even right now, even with your kids, if you have kids, that you actually start writing on a piece of paper of all the things that God has done for you as a family. And then seek him daily for strength and wisdom as we try to get through this. He's got this, church. The destiny of God is before us. Would you bow your heads with me as I pray for us? Lord Jesus, I pray right now that you would enable us to take this truth from your word, and it would be living and it would be active, and it will enable us to be encouraged the way we need to be encouraged. And I pray that you would be in all of the households where everybody is at this moment, and you would give them exactly what they need, that you would enable them to know that our destiny is before us because the one who has called us is already out there ahead of us. And I pray that we would act now. We would not wait. We would do it all in Jesus' name. And I pray that you would enable us to know and remember of all your victories you've given us. And I pray you would enable us to know that you've come to take over. Jesus, we submit to you. encourage my brothers and sisters. Give them exactly what they need. And we thank you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to transition into a time of communion. And as we do this, please be aware that this is what it's all about. We're going to take, you're going to see the worship team behind me, we're going to take together. And so this would be the time that I would encourage you. Maybe you don't have juice. Use water. Use whatever you have, something you can drink. God knows your heart. And whether it's a cracker or bread, take it. You know, at this time of the worship service, I typically say this to everybody. I say to you, if you do not know Jesus Christ personally and fear has overtaken you, I would encourage you now in the quietness of your place to ask Jesus into your heart. How do I do that? I would encourage you just simply to confess that you've messed up. Lord, I'm sorry. Secondly, acknowledge that you truly believe he is the Son of God. Say, Lord, I believe. Help me with my belief. And then personally invite him into your life. Surrender your life and say, Lord, I choose to live for you from this point forward. If you can say that right now in the quietness of your place and mean it, the Bible tells us that he will take us and will be able to make us a new creation. You see, for 33 years ago, after 33 years of living and 3.5 years with the disciples, his last meal, he did something pretty crazy. He took the bread, which he had done so many times before, and he broke the bread. But this time he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. I want you to take this and eat it together. And I want us, church, to do this right now from your house, right here to on the sanctuary. Take this in remembrance, Jesus said, of what I've done, and be thankful. Amen. Then he took the cup. He said, this is the new covenant. My blood will be the last blood spilled. He said, my part of the covenant, it was simple. I died. Your part of the covenant is equally as simple. Follow me. So I tell you, do not only take this with a heart that's thankful that his blood was spilled for you and me, but also take it with an anticipation that he's coming back to take us home. Amen. And Lord, it is in this moment that we thank you that you have forgiven us of our sins. You've given us a destiny to be like Jesus. And even though we do not know what the weeks are ahead, we know you do, and we now trust you for that. So would you bless my brothers and sisters as we share this time together? We pray this all in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.